And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. We're with Matt Braun today. Cannot wait to get started talking Byron Buxton, talking free agency, talking 2022 Twins on today's episode of Locked On Twins.
You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So welcome to Matt Braun. Matt is here with us. We're on video this time. Matt was on this show, and before we even knew what Zoom was, like 2 years ago, we didn't even have Zoom. I think we're on Skype. Matt, how you been hanging, man? Are you ready for the winter, and how is it out west?
Well, I feel like I'm sullying the professionalism of this now. That was impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, we're big time, I guess, on YouTube now. Subscribe to the channel. Only big time because Matt's here, though.
Oh, you're too kind. You're far too kind. I'm chilling. It was actually crazy just a few days ago. It was raining like hell. Basically, the road I'm looking at it right now, the road out of my apartment, completely full. Couldn't get out.
Wow.
But we're good now. The water receded. But it was pretty insane for a little bit there. We had people like kayaking all over the place.
Oh, that's Seattle for you. I remember last time I said, how is it in the great state of Seattle? And you said, well, Nash, Seattle's not a state. And I said, you're right, Matt. Matt, there's been a lot going on Twins Twitter for sure. And a lot going in Twins world. It is, it's an interesting time to say the least. What is your, what's your takeaway from the Barrios extension with Toronto? And then your Buxton update. I guess we can get into the Buxton thing after Barrios, but let's start with Jose.
Well, yeah, shoot. Let's not kick around the bush, man. Let's see, Barrios. I think it was a good deal. I think it was a good deal for both sides. I think it gave Barrios the kind of money and the kind of time that he deserved because he's been, if not the guy that we thought he would be, sort of the Cy Young winner, he's been phenomenally consistent. And that's worth a lot of money. So I'm happy for him, happy for Toronto. I saw a lot of people upset, understandably so to a degree, that they're like, you know, oh, of course, the Twins let another guy go. You know, of course, we can't re-sign our own guys. And I'm just sitting here thinking, I'm like, well, I was here just a few months ago when we made that trade and everyone loved it. What happened there? We knew when we gave him up that we were also giving up then the first opportunity to re-sign him. So I'm a little bit miffed at then why we're sort of like shocked that he did re-sign, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this was going to come, whether it's now or in free agency. I guess my feeling on it, Matt, was that I thought he was so dead set on getting there. I thought he really wanted to pitch his final year, get to free agency, and then have teams, as Cody put it, kind of court him in free agency. So that was where my surprise came, that he didn't let himself get to free agency. But I guess, I mean, if he went to the Twins and said, I want, you know, 6 years, $120 million on top of my last year of arbitration bought out, would you have given him that if you were the Twins, Matt?
If I'm the Twins, yeah, I give him that. Even, you know, context neutral, even assuming that, you know, we may be going to some quasi, not rebuild, but sort of retool, maybe considering that there might be a burnt year or two or whatever, I still give him that. $20 million for a solid number two, that's what I see him as, perfectly fine, perfectly acceptable.
Would you – so we'll get into the free agent starting pitching class a little bit. I don't know what your feeling is on you know, how aggressive the Twins will be in any of those areas. But if the Twins – this is like the biggest if, and we talked about this last time. If they were to go out and let's say they did land – a Ray or a Stroman, and then they had Austin Martin and Simeon Woods Richardson. I mean, in that case, for me, it actually changes things. Does that change things for you when you look back on that extension? Because you say, okay, we got Stroman for whatever it may be, or Ray for 5-120 or 6-130, plus Martin, plus Woods Richardson for Barrios. Does that change it for you at all?
I don't know if it does, because I think I like looking at moves, at least as far as that goes, as itself. You know, it's context right. Neutral. We gave up Barrios and we got Martin and Simeon Woods Richardson, and whatever happened after that was influenced by other decisions, other things that occurred. So I don't know if I like this revisionist necessarily, looking back and then saying, But you know, we eventually got there because we're kind of right now in limbo. We don't know if we're going to get there, and I can anticipate right. We're not going to get there, but we'll get to that discussion soon. I know we're getting there.
I remember, Matt, you said to me last time, you said in the last time we talked, you're like, I have no, this might've been a couple times ago, actually, they kind of run together with us, but you said to me, no, I don't believe that they will ever sign a starting free agent starting pitcher because they haven't, or a big time free agent starting pitcher. I said, why don't you think that? You said, because they haven't. Are you still in that boat this offseason? And does where they are in the contention cycle change that at all for you and go even further toward, I don't think they'll do it.
Well, I think my opinion is still there. I still don't think they're going to do it. I think, you know, we can hope about Robbie Ray. We can hope about, you know, sort of those top guys, maybe even Stroman, if you want to consider him one of those top guys. And I'm just like, oh, you're just setting up to get burned. I'm sorry. The closest we've got is offering however much we offered to Yu Darvish, and then he turned it down. Other than that, they've been in on guys, but always like 20-30 million short of what they eventually get. So basically, I'm cutting it off as, if you're hoping for anyone better than, I don't know, let's say like a John Gray, you're going to be disappointed. I'm sorry. That's until something changes, that's just how I see it.
Yeah. I don't blame you for thinking that way. I mean, you look back at 2019 too, and you know, they were in a spot where it was so obvious that they could have done it, and they still didn't, right? Even with that class. This class to me is a little bit different just because that was so top heavy. Feels like there's more in that middle tier this year. It was Strasburg and Cole, and then kind of a drop off to Wheeler and Keuchel. And I guess looking back, I'm somewhat glad they didn't get Keuchel, but I mean, he might have helped this rotation.
Who? I don't want to say it. I told you I was going to go to the White Sox.
Yes. Did you on this show?
Yeah.
I remember that. Yes, you did. Matt Braun called Dallas Keuchel to the White Sox. That was a banger there. And we'll see if he has another free agent prediction for you. First, I want to tell you about BetOnline. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way for sports betting. And they're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, college basketball is back too. Football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts. Matt, I'm sorry, that was kind of sad. I had to send you away. You're back. You're back into the stratosphere. And we're here to talk Byron Buxton, because last time we had I'm somewhat biased, but I think it might have been the best Byron Buxton conversation, maybe the best conversation in sports podcast history about Byron Buxton.
why stop there? It was the best conversation
in history. Best conversation, period, on air or off air in the history of human life, I guess. Mm-hmm. What's your feeling on Buxton today?
Not a whole lot has changed as far as, I guess I can sum it up for anyone who didn't listen to that. I was pretty firmly in the camp of, I don't like extending Buxton. I'll explain why. I don't want to do it now because that would take 30 minutes, as it did when we talked. But I was in that camp. I'm still in that camp, but I want to also say for the record that just because I prefer not extending him doesn't mean that I don't also see a path to success if they do extend him. It's sort of like this balance act. It's maybe like 60-40 in this direction. And it completely depends on, one, of course, how much money they're going to give him. And also, two, then how good of a contingency plan they have for, let's be honest, when he gets injured.
Right.
Those two things really matter to me. And I honestly can't give a fair sense. I can't give a fair description of my thoughts until those kind of play out.
So how will you feel, Matt? Because it certainly feels like, in Ken Rosenthal reporting this yesterday with Dan Hayes, that it's likely, was Rosenthal's word, I believe, it's likely that Buxton will be traded. So is your feeling on that, what's going to be your reaction to that? Is it going to really matter on the package? Or are you going to be someone, because there's going to be a subset of fans who are just going to be like, I don't care what they got. you know, there'll be a subset of analysts and Twins writers and bloggers that will say, or who will say, I don't care what they got. They traded Byron Buxton, and that's, you know, a terrible move.
Oh, boy. Where do I even start with that one? let's see. Well, obviously, you got to make sure it's a good package. I'm not just in that camp. Oh, just get rid of him, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. You got to get him back. You got to get something back in return. What I do find interesting, you said the word he used was likely, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm not sure how much of that is honest and how much of that is an accurate reflection of what the Twins believe and how much of that is sort of then playing into the, because remember, whenever a reporter says something, whenever something is leaked, someone is leaking it for a purpose, mm-hmm. right? They're leaking this so that they can gain leverage in something, perhaps, you know, gain an edge. So I'm thinking potentially even them saying it's likely we're going to deal them, that might work in the opposite direction, that they, now that they, it's public, that they're like, hey, you know, we don't like this guy. We want to get rid of him. If I'm Buxton, if I'm his agent, I come back saying, whoa. You want to get rid of us? And then maybe that affects the negotiation somehow. I don't know. I'm not in those conversations, so I can't tell you what's happening. But all I would say for that is be weary of these kind of things. You should never take them at face value.
That's a great point. And that's, you know, reminds me of, I always think of the offseason when we first started doing these together too, thinking about the Donaldson sweepstakes or the Wheeler sweepstakes or whatever. But I remember with Donaldson specifically saying the Twins were out, leaking that they were out. They said, we're no longer in the bidding anymore. And mm-hmm. you're right. These things happen. It happens in every walk of free agency and every sport. So that's a really good point. But looking at this offseason, Matt, how high are your expectations for actual meaningful additions for 2022 and beyond?
I don't know. I don't really have a read on what they're going to do, simply because I feel like in almost every other offseason we've had under this front office, what they needed to do was so obvious that it was more predictable. You know, them coming in before 2017, they're like, okay, so they're just taking over, probably not going to do much. I believe all they really did was sign Jason Castro. And then going into 2018, all right, we just made the playoffs. They got to make some moves. You know, we saw Lance Lynn, Logan Morrison, Jake Odorizzi, and others that I can't remember off the top of my head. Seemed like they were good moves. We know how that played out. And then 2018, again, it seemed like, okay, well, that was somewhat fluky. Let's try it again. Then we saw Nelson Cruz. Then we saw Marwin Gonzalez, and we saw CJ Cron and all these other guys. And then 2020, I'm going to stop there because this is going to take a long time. But now here, I'm just like, dude, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
All the traditional core that we think of, guys like Kepler, Polanco, Sano, Garver, they're all getting a little bit older. They're now getting to the point where you're either going to have to pay them or, you know, make a decision about what their future is. So that makes things tough. You got to balance the starting rotation or entirely lack thereof. You got to balance all of these things at once where it's just like, dude, I have no idea. So they could go out tomorrow and they could, it'd be announced they signed John Gray, and they could go out tomorrow and they could announce they signed Jorge Polanco, and I would not be, or they traded Jorge Polanco, and I would not be shocked either way, if that makes any sense.
That's actually excellent, Matt. That's so true. I think that's so true. I'm also sitting here like, I don't know. I've been under the assumption that they're going to make some moves or try to make some moves, but it's possible, like with every signing that happens that isn't the Twins, I'm like, ooh, maybe they are taking that path. And the path that I'm talking about, I think you're talking about too, is the one that you were favoring with me a few months back, which was as I thought about it and think about what's best for the organization, of course I saw that perspective and I thought, ooh, that might be the best thing for them, right? And it was, Let's get these guys up. Let's get Balazovic, Winder, Sands, whoever's healthy and in the upper minors and succeeding. Let's get them up as soon as possible. Let's see what we have here. Let's run it back with Polanco. Maybe, I don't know if you said like move Kepler, move Buxton. And I assume move Buxton because you're not extending him. But move some of your veterans. Get some young players in return. Get these pitchers up. Get Miranda up. And let's see what we have in 2023. And that'll help, or in 2022. And that will help us for 2023. Are you still there?
I'm still there. If I were a GM, God help me, that's what I would be doing if I was the Twins. I'd be looking at longer term deals with younger guys. I'd be looking at maybe dropping a guy or two. And then that would kind of be it. I'd say, all right, off you go. Let's have fun in 2022, you know?
Yeah, it might be fun, Matt. It might be a really fun year, like a transition year. Maybe you have some breakouts. Maybe Kirilloff really breaks out or Miranda breaks out. And if that's the case, you find out, right? You say, oh, now we really are cooking with peanut oil and we can make moves for next year, which would be 2023. I've always just thought like maybe they could make some moves that would help them a little bit in 2022. And then especially in 2023, like a 2 or 3 year deal, like you mentioned, John Gray, something that will help them in not only 2023, but maybe compete in 22. What's your view of this division for next year? Because I think that's a big part of it. And if the playoffs are expanded is a factor, but what's your just base view of the Central for 2022?
Well, I think it's going to be more interesting than it has been the last few years. Cause now it seems like Detroit's really focused on getting better, you know, just signed Eduardo Rodriguez, apparently are in on Carlos Correa. We'll see on that. But still, even then, you know, just getting Rodriguez, just changing their sort of tone as far as what their future is. I think that makes them more of a threat than they have been in years past. You know, Kansas City, they got Bobby Witt on the come up. I don't really know what else they're going to do. They got a lot of starting pitchers, actually. So, again, they could be a threat. Cleveland is going to. They're going to win 78 to 82 games, you know, whatever. I don't care.
Like clockwork.
Like clockwork. It's beautiful. And then the White Sox are still going to be the cream of the crop for the next year or two, the way I see it. So that's sort of why I'm playing into this. You know, I think going into 2022 with this sort of half shot or this sort of not full capacity attempt would be a bad idea because the division is going to be so much stronger because it's no longer, I don't anticipate one team cakewalking everything else. And then getting swept in DS as they always do. And so that's what I'm saying. Okay, let's hold back on 2022, build up again, make 2023 this sort of all-out offensive, and then see where that takes us.
It's an interesting point, and I also think of, and you remember coming off 2018, that offseason, going into 2019 with, I think, an over-under at 81 or 82 wins. So, I mean, you could say that offseason that they took a little bit of the half approach, signing Martin Perez. You know, Nelly was a big addition, obviously. Scope Krohn, you mentioned the additions they made. Not expected to be a good team necessarily, like a solid team, right? In that 78 to 82 win range. And then all of a sudden it just kind of took off and they took advantage of a weak division. But I think a big part of that was the division was so weak, right? So I think that's a factor, is how weak really is this division. And I agree with you. I think Detroit will be better. If you look at this offseason for the Twins, Matt, and they come out of it with Alex Cobb, who I talked about today on the podcast, is their best starting pitching free agent signing. And then they go get, you know, Freddie Galvis and go back into 2022 with Kepler still on the team, with Sano still on the team, with those guys still on the team. Would you look at that as being a failure of an offseason?
I would look at that as being exactly what I anticipate. Really. Yeah, Alex Cobb and Freddie, I'm like, well, that's a punt if I've ever seen one. Good Lord. It's funny. The second someone first mentioned Alex Cobb of the Twins, I don't know if it was you. I don't know if it was Cody. The second it like entered my brain, I'm like, oh my God, that's so happening.
It's so happening.
It's just, you couldn't dream of a better combination. And I think that's a real sad thing to say.
Yeah,
but it's kind of, yeah, we know how it goes.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree that they shouldn't go middle. They shouldn't go halfway is what I should say. They shouldn't go halfway. Like, choose a side. Is that what you're saying too? Just choose a side. If you're going to go, go. If you're not going to go, don't go. Just don't sit in the middle.
Yeah, choose a side. I mean, if you are going to sign some guys just because fundamentally you're going to need people. People are going to get injured.
You're going to need players.
Yeah, you're going to need players. As I said, maybe have one or two of the kind of what you're talking about, the longer term guys just to be there. But yeah, I don't, if you're going to sign Alex Cobb, Freddie Galvis, maybe trade for another like mid-tier starter, sign another reliever arm or two. I'm just sort of like, what are we doing? You know,
I think that's going to happen. As you're saying I'm like, that seems like the most likely scenario, unfortunately, for 2022. Matt, we're going to do a thing right now to finish up today. I know it's quick. I apologize because we're comparing it to last time when we talked forever, as we always could. Let's do a little thing now. So right at the beginning of the offseason, November 17th is today. We're going to have you back on. I'm going to try to do monthly. So like if you want to come on in December at some time and then January and then February, I want your Twins win prediction for 2022 on November 17th. You're not like with your expectations for what they'll do this offseason. I want your win prediction today and then we'll get it and we'll look back.
Okay. I like this. I like this. Win prediction. Okay.
So if you think they're going to just kind of sit, you could say, oh, I think it'll be, you know, whatever. But whatever you think is going to happen.
I think right now, probably 70 games.
70 games. November 17th, Matt Brown, you heard it first, Twins. 70 and what is that, 92 next year? So we're avoiding 100 losses again, right? That's favorable, I guess.
God, that's a terrible banner to put up.
Avoided 100, I guess, in the American League Central. It's even actually last year is even more of an accomplishment, right? That division was horrendous. Matt, thank you so much. Really appreciate you always. Again, Matt's coming back. So Twins fans, don't be sad. Matt will be back to give us his prediction after the Twins sign Alex Cobb. Matt, thank you so much. Appreciate you. You can see it on the screen if you're on YouTube, but for those listening on wherever they get their podcast, where can they follow you on Twitter and find your work?
Oh, absolutely. Follow me at Matthew_B Twins on Twitter. Unfortunately, I haven't been writing like at all. I've been stuck doing senior stuff. I'm already writing so much on as far as essays and like history stuff. I don't feel any need.
Writing intensive.
Oh my God, it's insane. Yes. I literally I'm going to close this browser and I'm going to go work on an essay right now. Like that is actually going to happen.
Matt, think about the a journalism school is a little bit less work than that, but thank you so much. Appreciate you, brother. We'll talk soon, okay?
Of course.